Lot Talk Radio.
That's right, Portland 5-0, and delivering the power punch, the pop, the punk, the social political voice for dads against discrimination and all this other heads on the line looking at what it means to be a sovereign citizen, a United States citizen. In the free speech zone. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, Bud Justice on the line, friends. How y'all doing? We're here live at the Modish Palace, the Castle of Consciousness and the Spirit Tower. We got Chris Rich on the line. We're bringing in the 5-0 view and giving it to you hot off the press. Right off the noosphere, we got insights, we got ways and means. Just telling it like it is, one day at a time, and right in with the rhythm, rap, and roll, and rhyme. And the reason for the show tonight is obvious. We're hot to trot, and we got something to say about this garden cultured economic way of life, the Red Road Way. And it's five alive tonight as we look at news and insights from Portland's Tribune and the Oregonian in regards to the state of affairs with our state, local, and federal law enforcement agencies who are playing politic and managing a very broken social fabric to our disadvantage. And so we're going to explore some of that with the content of Taser Crazy. And right out of the chute, we're going to give you the article here today in the Oregonian, which is Man Sues Portland Police, U.S. Marshals, under the microscope. And local man filed a $1.3 million lawsuit. This is in the Oregonian, Thursday, January 13th, Gregorian 2011, okay? Where a man filed $1.3 million in litigation against the Portland Police and the U.S. Marshals Service, contending their officers used excessive force, knocking him to the ground at gunpoint, shooting him twice with a taser, and letting a city police dog loose on him. So, obviously, things are well underway. This was in October 31st, 2008. We are now in 2011, and things have been cooking and have escalated to a point of such violence in certain regards, to local shootings and the increase in the violence and what have you. And without rambling on for too long about it and getting right to the point with this article, it says that this this man, Yosef Baltinyavsky, it sounds European to me. He's 34. He's a young man. He wasn't the fugitive they were looking for. They got the wrong guy on October 31st, 2008, and it could be you next. They actually were seeking a Joseph Thompson, a 21-year-old, on parole for violations, and he'd been convicted in January 2008 for an assault. And essentially, the man they got underwent surgery for dog bites and suffered nerve damage as a result of being pinned to the ground by federal marshals and Portland police. Tased twice, he contends that the city of Portland, U.S. Marshals, failed to supervise officers that had essentially assaulted this man, approached him with guns drawn and ordered him to his knees. He placed his hands on his head. He was kneeling while an officer tackled him, pushing his face to the ground, while a third officer from a running start also jumped on the plate, and it was as if he was resisting arrest or something. The officer went as far as to fire his taser, hitting him in the shoulder and the back on two separate occasions, with more than likely a volt of about 50,000 shockwaves to your vegetable body. So then after the three guys tackle him, they stick the dog on him. Now he's got the dog and three policemen on him, beating the shit out of him. It could be you. I've been through it too. Not to this extreme, but who's not being pinched or harassed or hassled wanted today? If you're having any fun, you're getting into some kind of trouble. If you got kids, you're losing them, or you're losing it because you can't keep up with your rent and your child support. We're in the Modish building. I thought bands that are wood shopping here and we're on fire as we're in the central offices of 5-0 and just coming to the realization again that we're under the gun. We got guns pointing all these big guns with this projection of a terrorist, an unruly, patriotic upsurping or a social unrest or an urban war, perhaps, like the one that's going down in Mexico, the so-called drug war in Mexico. It's actually a civil war in Mexico coming north. And for the right reasons. And essentially it's a peace movement, but it's now escalated into a jihad. And so we're to give voice to that and reflect on the obvious. And here, right here in Oregonian today, is another reason why we're on the wire with Chris Rich and the likes of Great Spirit. Without further ado, Chris, how are you? What's up? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You're on now. I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
All right. Excellent.
All right.
Thanks, Bud. Justice. Well, it is
welcome,
just a
sir.
Terrible thing going on, and I really appreciate you having me on so we can talk about this stuff.
Yeah, well, right on. You know, you got some notes in front of you, and of course, you know, we want to stay on the lighter side. We know how hot and emotional that Bud can get. So I just want to come back to the creative re-release of Days of Crazy and the.
Well, it's not a re-release.
All Rights Deserved,
the
or Day or Die.
It's the first release that's been on. It's not a re-release, but it's brand new. It's fresh. I mean, it's, you know, it's new.
I got it. Okay. Well, when I say re-release, you know, the first album is also exceptionally, it's produced well, and it's exceptionally poignant about your angle and your views towards law enforcement today, what people can do to really know their rights and to learn how to work within the law.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And overcome, avoid circumstances that would expose them to danger or fallout or scrutiny or any attention that's not warranted or deserved, and simply carry on with your life.
Well, and that's why I always recommend that people just follow the just say no rule. You know, when an officer comes up to you and asks you a question, just say no. Because generally, the question they're going to be asking you is something they're expecting you to say yes to.
Right. And that's how they draw you out that way. They draw you into dialogue conflict. Or they can't.
Well,
not in all circumstances.
The psychology is actually to get you to violate your own Fifth Amendment right, which is the right against self-incrimination. And that's why when people ask you to do things, what they're really wanting to do is get your consent. And if you don't give your consent, then it's really difficult for them to proceed.
Right.
It is a voluntary system. I hate to say it. And most people, because they're good people, they just, you know, they play on that and they just really take advantage of it.
Well, actually, there's nothing to hate about it, because really what it is, it's a system of intelligence. And if you're self-reflective and you really do have a genuine quality of intelligence, and, you know, that commands so many virtues like respect and other things that you have in order to learn anything new or in order to know anything at all, you have to know ahead. You have to grow ahead. You have to know ahead. You've got to relate well. So the system is designed with a particular facet of genius, and we're bringing that back into perspective when we say that every safety check, every opportunity to communicate or represent yourself is an opportunity to know yourself. And that means to know your mind and to know what's going on in the present moment and to deal with it accordingly.
Well, you know, what really helps is just know who you are and where you are. I mean,
exactly.
That's really the key. Who are you and where
exactly.
are you? And if you're born here in the United States, you are who you are, and you're a U.S. citizen. And you don't have to consent to anything, really. I mean, really, the only thing that you really have to do as a decent citizen is if an officer asks you anything pertaining to their safety, like if you have weapons or anything like that, then you do have an obligation to be honest with them. But really, when it comes down to it, if an officer asks you a question that's incriminating to you, you know, you really have no obligation to be honest with them in that respect. And really, if you don't want to lie to them, just say no. I don't want to say anything. I want to have an attorney. Can I go now?
Right.
That's really the
key. You know what I like to say? Well, hold on. I would like to take it a step further, sir, and say, here's my approach. Now, that would be one approach, and there's several approaches. And what normal will tell you to do is to assert your Fifth Amendment rights and to polarize with the assertion that you have the right to remain silent, which automatically polarizes the moment and sends it into a challenge.
Well, your right
state.
To remain silent is a Miranda
okay.
right.
Well, it
it's
is, but
Miranda
the way of
right.
presenting that, the way of presenting that has everything to do with the kind of response you get. And all I'm saying is that, in this case, normal will tell you to polarize, and actually it creates conflict. Every little spark creates a light heat, which could go array at any given moment. So what I would say is I would say, officer, if it's, you know, it's my intent to communicate with you, cooperate with you, how can I help you? And if I felt that he, you know, if I couldn't give him the information he needed and do that intelligently without him poking and prodding and drawing me into dialogue or discourse that gives him control over the circuit, over the moment, then I would simply say, if it's, you know, if it's your intention, you know, to arrest me or keep me from going to work tomorrow, or if it's your intent to take my kids away from me or deprive me of personal property, then please allow me to present my legal shield and call my attorney. And then I present my legal shield. I give him my identification cards. And my identification cards are kept like a trucker's son, you see? And the trucker's little portfolios, I recommend them to all of y'all. You should have your passport in there. You should have your insurances. Have all your family pictures, so when you roll into your legal eagle view, they see how you do business, how you are.
Well, I'd be careful. I mean, you know, really, to be nondescript.
That's how
is
I
the
do.
Best,
I mean, I've never had to do that, Chris,
technique.
Because Chris, I've never had to do that because I know how to communicate with police.
Yeah,
I've been searched. I've been pulled over. I've been interviewed. I've had circumstances where just by being straight and being clear and honest, they've cut me slack. And I got to say that Hood River cops are some of the best cops in Oregon. I got to say that much.
And also, I think it's really important as far as the 5-0 project and everything concerned with Taser Crazy, that it is even stated in the album, in the sleeve, that if you ever do encounter a good cop, that you should be thankful and respectful. And I do absolutely believe that, because we need more good cops. That's just really the plain Jane of it. So there you go.
Yep. And on that note, you release Taser Crazy as a social political kind of punk voice like that of the Dead Kennedys, like Murphy's Law, like Social Distortion is coming to Portland here towards the end of the moon, delivering, you know, what you refer to as really a death blow against police state fascism and the snoring complacency of contemporary rock music with release of the Power Trio, second full-length CD, and Best of Taser Crazy. And no doubt coming to a town near you or coming in a freak show consortium of interests live on the Media Wire.
And also available at all really cool Portland record stores.
And you know what? I've been seeing the posters, bro. I've been seeing the posters, too.
Good. Yeah, well, I mean, we've got to get the word out. You know, it's really important.
I saw that at the Gold Rush Cafe today, actually. I kind of got a chuckle out of that.
And
yeah,
so, you know,
yeah.
And people have asked me a lot of questions about that. And one of the things I think it's really important for people to understand, especially when they see the CD cover or any of the propaganda that's out there, is that, that, you know, everybody asks me, the one biggest question I have is, why is there a pirate in there? And I think it's really, you know, I want everybody to know that the pirate represents the link between policing and piracy. And the reason why is because with the drug laws and the drug war that they're having, which is in itself, it's an oxymoronic statement because you can't have a war against a drug. But anyway,
the people.
Yeah, that's what it is. And so the key is understanding that when an officer confronts, and I'm not talking about a good cop, but when I'm talking about a cop that doesn't even know what the Constitution is, when they approach you and they want to go through all your stuff, they want your drugs, they want your money, and they want your property. And those are the three things they're looking for. And in my mind, that's not much different than any other pirate I ever read about.
Yep.
So
yep.
There you have it. That's what the pirate's for, man. It's a visual metaphor for, you know, policing and piracy.
Well, exactly. And it's a legal license to covet and steal. I mean, basically, that's what they're doing. They're depriving us of property, you know, over infractions or you know, possession there of so-called controlled substances, in this case, medical marijuana being one of them, and overextending, you know, that into some traumatic life-threatening event is it seems to be what they're best at, which increases their budgets and their bottom lines and fills their prisons and fills their social programs with this with dysfunctional or unemployed.
Well, it's
or,
completely
or,
absurd.
Self-employed. Self-employed.
It's completely absurd.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway,
it is really. I mean, so what's the
absurd.
Next song on the list here?
Well, we got some songs, and hey, man, you're the founder and the front man. So being the lead guitarist, how about Billy Club Love in light of today's article, Man Sues Portland Police. U.S. Marshals on the, you know, with the magnifying glass of attention by Portland's media hounds.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Billy Club Love, that sounds appropriate.
Okay, well, we're going to have to table that until it's been loaded. So in the meanwhile, well, actually, no.
What do you have
right?
Oh, this one's SWAT. This is about people who are in their homes, and all of a sudden, you know, they could even make you breakfast or watch TV with their family, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, the police have a drug raid, and it's the wrong house, and they end up killing the guy. That's what this song is about.
Drug raid!
We'll be right back.
got to give it up to you, man. You know, it's an incredible endeavor. It's really something to hear you singing like that, dude. And you carry yourself in such an easy light, you know. It's not like it's difficult to hang out with you. I really want to thank you for lowering your wing to us, you know, simple minds and all.
Oh, please. Man, don't even think about it like that. I mean, it's like, believe me. The reason why that whole thing works, really, to be honest with you, is because it's not me. I told you before when we were talking about the project that I had to create like a character that portrays that attitude, and that a character that portrays that demeanor, and a character that portrays that bad cop. You know, it's like my one liner. It's like, hey man, I'm not a bad cop. I just play one in a rock band.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not really me. I mean, of course, it's my elements and my skills, but it's a character. And I think when people, you know, if they can be theatrical a little bit with themselves, and they can do a lot of different things that they never thought they possibly could.
Well, there you have it. So there you got some facets of theater in there to be maybe drawn upon, perhaps as a source of inspiration. In this case, a dimensional double to tame domestic forces and to rally your teen, right? Well, yeah. It makes a lot of sense to me. It's really something to, like I said, be in good company and be on board with that. One of the things I was thinking about here, Chris, as I was looking over the album and everything, and a direction in which to take, this channel, because if it's not in the now, if it's not pertinent to today, then people aren't tuning in. In this case, they are tuning in, and if you want to call in and express yourself or have an opinion, you know, we had, as a result of doing this, we're meeting more and more people throughout the world. Well, actually, fewer people with a real view in remote parts of the country, and if you want to call in at 347-934-0427, then that's a way to participate in tonight's broadcast, and another way to get through to the Budweiser, or the Budweiser, ha 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 ha.
No
well,
doubt.
In this case, it's not so wise to have the FBI in your business. And now what do you think, Chris, about the task force idea? You know, with this so-called terrorist 19-year-old Christmas slam on the dangerous social fabric of Portland Metro.
Well, let me put it this way. If the guy is not a plant and he wasn't just a patsy, then I think that was really good police work. Because if the guy really intended on blowing up all those people, you know, you got to hang him high and make an example of that kind of person, because it's not acceptable to go after innocent people like that and wreak havoc. I mean, that's not what our nation's about. That's not even what our rebellion was about in the beginning. So, the fact is that if he really intended on doing what he was doing, then I think it was good police work or good, you know, investigating and in the end policing that, you know, protected all those people. And I think that, that's the way we need to be handling things. But you'll notice that he's not dead, is he? But there's a whole list of innocent people that are.
Well, innocent people, you mean in the so-called...
I'm talking about people that are innocent in home invasions. I'm talking about people that are innocent,
right, okay.
Like just because they peed on a tree, they didn't have to die.
Right.
You know, and I'm speaking of James Chassie. And even with Kendra James, that case here locally in Portland, I first of all, you know, the officer, it seems to me, was just not very commonsensical. And Kendra James, I don't believe, really needed to die, which is what Shot and Gone is about on the new album. I wrote that song for her. And do you have Boot Camp loaded?
Let's see what I've got loaded here. I do have... I'm feeling loaded, man. This recording studio is really far out. Hey, we do have another caller on the line. Should we bring him in at 505?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's do it to it. All right, who we got dropping in? Howdy ho, yo.
Hi, I'm talking to Grady here. Why did you try to arrest me when I was videotaping the Hemp Fest in Portland, man? I just don't get it.
Well, it's now. Wait a minute. First of all, Grody ain't here. This is Chris. Sorry, man. I can't come and interrupt the spirit like that. You know why that happened is because they don't want any evidence displaying what they're doing that is illegal.
Well, that was just a bunch of kids having fun.
You know what? That's what they're doing, and that's why you need to go ahead and still be perceptive, keep on it, so that way when they're trying to pass legislation saying that you can't be on a public property or seeing what's going on and videotape it, the police are trying to do that where you can't even videotape them breaking the law. And I think that's wrong, and I think that's
But they're out
really
in public,
important.
Man.
That's exactly right. So I agree with you, but right now I'm not talking to you as Grody, because if I was Grody right now, I'd be saying, that's too bad, subject. You just take your lumps and go on home.
Grow up, would you? Right, yeah. So,
I mean,
you know, because after all, Grody,
because they tried to arrest me.
Yeah, no, after all, Grody and his ilk, they are omnipotent, aren't they now?
Pretty much.
Well, and
it's the internet, they're watching everything.
And always right. Always right.
And let me
Well, and always aggro and like evasive. Well,
yeah, well, either way, all I can tell you is that they're not omnipotent. They are your servants, and they need to start acting that way. And the good cop always will.
Only if you demand your rights, sir. Demand your rights. No
well, a good
rights,
cop is
going to
protect
rights.
Your rights. A good cop will protect your rights. And I know it's the truth, and I've seen it. I've witnessed it, and that's the only reason why I can say it. A good cop will protect your rights. A bad cop will try to take advantage of you and get you to give up your own rights based on your
assertive
own consent.
Assertive rights, man. Assertive rights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ways of, communication. Communication.
People need to realize that they can say the magic words. The magic words are, do you have specific articulable facts that link me to a crime? And if they can't say yes to that, they do not have probable cause.
Well, the point is, though, is that a crime is different than an infraction, too. And like a cannabis charge, at least in the state of Oregon, if it's anything under an ounce, is only an infraction. So really the idea, though, is that I never consent, ever, to a search, to anything. The law requires police to get a search warrant if they have probable cause. You get my point? And I believe that every citizen, when they actually understand their fundamental rights, like the Fifth Amendment, which guarantees them the right against self-incrimination. So the law enforcement person will ask you self-incriminating information or questions, but you don't have to legally respond, honestly, to be honest with you. And that's the key that people don't really understand, is that if I'm doing something that the cop may think is wrong, but I know is just fine, if I'm not going to harm him and I'm not going to jeopardize his safety or her safety, I am under no obligation to incriminate myself. And they may think that, oh, I'm just a good person and I should just be honest all the time. But here in the United States, we have a body of laws that protect us against people who want to actually take advantage of your honesty and your kindness.
And they
so
do.
We need to protect ourselves by using the laws that people have established for us.
That's right, Chris.
And you know what's really crazy about it is that there's nowhere in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights that says it doesn't govern you. Everything in the Bill of Rights and everything in the Constitution governs government. And it's the citizens' obligation and their duty to actually make sure that those rules are being held down so that government isn't like Britain. You know, in Britain, you know, people say, oh, I'm from Britain. And so you ask them, are you a British subject? And they'll say, yes. Of course they are, because they're subject. And if you see some from the United States, you'll say, hey, are you a U.S. subject? You know, say, no, I'm a U.S. citizen. And so they're two very different things.
Word, Bird. This is a free test zone. This is a speech zone. This is the Live Wire 5-0 release of Taser Crazy, founder, frontman, and over the top, Chris Rich on the line.
We going out
with
a song?
Take it easy, Chris.
Hey, right on, brother. Thank you. We going out with a song?
We're not going to go total. We're going to go an extra extended half an hour like we talked about. And
are we
going to
go live, though, half hour?
live. Yeah,
we're
going to stay live.
All right, this is Free Speech Zone. Get in your cage, chicken.
And we're going the extended while, and we want to give you some good things. We want to give you some real good things, and we want to give you some real good creative things and a real deal with that. Just going to scroll through the Facebook blog, Chris. So are you still with me?
I'm still here, bud.
All right, man. Well, you know, yeah, we're just scrolling through here. Before we wrap up the segment, we're going to give you some insight and target dates and special events that are going to be up and coming that you'll want to know something about. So hang in there with us, and we're just going to skim across some of the hot topics. And the one here that reminds me of the impact that we can have, or the influence that we've definitely exerted and have used to shape the future economic social fabric of Oregon today, is now in session. The Oregon legislature is in session, according to Measure 74 faceheads, and you can make your voice heard right now. You can express an opinion on patients' rights. You can show up and fill those empty seats and those empty halls, and you can gather and you can discuss and relate, and you never know who you're going to meet. It's really a dynamic environment, this state capital of ours. And so take a bus, man. Take a train. Have a good time with it, man. Tune into your Constitution. Tune into the Founding Fathers. Get into that. Get into the Masonic.
Hey, bud.
Magic,
but,
of it.
When you say the Founding Fathers, don't forget the Founding Mothers, man. Behind every one of those great men, there was an awesome woman, too.
Absolutely.
That's an excellent reminder of how it is, brother.
No doubt. Betsy Ross, man, you know, stitching up a flag cloth into a meaningful pattern of 13 stripes,
that was hemp,
right?
That was hemp, brother. That was contraband
hemp that they were
selling. Yeah. And it was contraband at the time. The King of England outlawed hemp in the colonies because they were starting, you know, these little trysts with the law, the so-called law. And that's really the idea, is that they really did. They rebelled and they grew hemp, and that was what actually helped them, you know, build their foundation, their footing to build the foundation onto, to which they could actually begin rebelling against the empire and becoming a sovereign citizen instead of being a British subject.
That's right. Hemp played a major role.
And for everybody that can ever escape their monarchies and escape their tyrannies, you know, that's what we were supposed to be, and that's what we still are if we know it.
That's right. Yeah,
straight
well,
up.
And that's what we're out to know. We're out to know about, you know, things that have been obscured or hidden or things that haven't been shared with us that have everything to do with the future quality of our life. And the hemp cannabis is definitely playing a major
role. It's like, it's hilarious, man.
Today.
It's hilarious. I mean, think about it. It's like, you know, we all know the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all, right? But
before that
it says, and to the republic. And yet what do we have? We have a whole generation of media and a whole, like, machine telling everybody we're a democracy. You know, the majority rules in this country. And it's like there's nothing farther from the truth. I mean, if anybody understands the story of Rosa Parks, then they would know this. If they understood the story of speaking of great women, and I wish I knew her name right off the top of my head, but the woman that actually helped pass the law to help pass the actual right that women had to vote. They had the right already. It was just denied to them. You see my point?
Right.
And the Supreme Court ruling saying that women can vote meant that the right always existed, but it was being denied. And that's what I'm trying to say is that, you know, just because something seems to be the law, it doesn't mean it's the law. And it's just that simple.
Well, so what you're saying,
speaking
Chris,
of which,
is, that
you
the,
know,
is that the is that the 19th Amendment to our Constitution, the one that gives women's voting rights in 1920, was not something that was necessarily common until probably I would think it would take 10, 20, 30 years for women to really feel empowered in our voting system or
But the key was they already had the right. And since they try to always tell us that we're a democracy, who do you think were some of the biggest opponents of women's rights for voting? It was women it was mostly women that were running around telling, especially with a Bible in their hand, saying women have no place in politics. That's a man's world, right? Come on, buddy.
Right.
Oh yeah, no, women were pushing to deny other women the right to vote. And the right always existed. It just had to be enforced. And that's really the key. And so, hey, now, speaking of, you know, when we speak, that the right to remain silent, being a Miranda right, which is being jeopardized in many different ways. Do you have Miranda loaded by chance?
I do.
Why don't we go into Miranda?
I played that two nights ago, though, with Claude Duvall, and I'd like to try to keep it as fresh as possible. Hey, do we have this? Okay, the other caller dropped out. We want to thank you, caller, for your input, and wherever you are is where you're at, and you're always welcome in here when you're clear about, you know, your rights, and when you're assertive in a good way, then it definitely helps us all to know our own minds and to claim our power. So, yeah, here we are again, for the immediate release, Citizen Target Recordings, Portland's 5-0, delivering the social political insights of things today from a freeman's perspective, a sovereign United States citizen perspective.
You bet.
A sovereign's perspective. No longer corporate slaves. Programmed by Portland Way or corporate ways and means and its subliminal religious psycho Judaic Christianic overtones, but really coming from a place of natural time, natural mind. Time is art. Slowing down, putting the counter spin on Babylon today. Breaking from the job spell and the work week and that which works us to death. You know, I don't know how nobody's able to keep up on their bills. We're all anxious when we check the mail. We've got more problems we know how to deal with. We wake up every morning with our little neurosis moment, and we get over it, and hopefully on our way rushing to work, we're able to check in and touch bases before we get into the grind of envy and ambiguity and all of the other. You know, Chris, my partner this week was oddly enough, she was given a verbal written warning. Well, she was given two warnings and a single warning, and it was something that happened so spontaneously, which is really odd to me because she's one of the brightest ladies in this organization, and she works harder than you can imagine and will go out of her way and bend over backwards for you and for her son and for everybody she's serving at that dialysis clinic. And they give her this warning, and basically they're staging her exit, right? She knows it. She can feel it, okay? Because she's been introducing me, and we've had some company parties. This is what happens when you have a holiday season, friends. And this is why people don't want to go out on the holidays, because showing up at the thing is risky. We're all living in this fear-based zone where risk is always that element of the unknown that we may fall flat on our faces or lose our minds at any moment, you know. And in this case, what we've got is we've got a lady who is dealing with a corporate environment of envy, and she's on her way out. So yeah, when we talk about like knowing your rights as an employee, knowing your rights exiting on your way out of being a slave or an employee of the corporatocracy, but becoming a sovereign citizen, working your plan, planning your work, you can do this. You can become self-existing. You now have the medical marijuana program. You have a holistic care industry and a garden culture economy, which is the envy of the age, which is the envy of those who are not in tune. As the meek will inherit the earth, as the meek have inherited, and how we are at this time poised to command those resources in a real good way and bring you something that's fresh and hot off the press and right from the noosphere. We'd like you to grow the attention.
Fucking road, where are you? And you're here.
I know it. Yeah, I tell you, that's one of my favorites too, man. Tell me something about this project. How long you been with this?
I've been.
Does it matter? Forever.
No, it's been an entity since 2006.
Okay, all right. And before that, you were doing some activism and a lot of Access Television media work and what have you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It reminds me, it reminds me of a number of things, but in this case, you know, we've got my early influences going back to the Circle Jerks and Social Distortion and the Southern California punk scene, you know, and those influences were real strong throughout high school, but especially in junior, senior years of 86, 87. And, you know, what a hoot, what a return with Social Distortion coming to Portland. February 9th at the Crystal Ballroom at McMinimum. So a real good time with that. And
that should be an excellent show.
Don't be surprised if 5-0's opening up and you see a lot more of this kind of creative in-your-face activists, far from lazy, super wisdom crazy, and really running down to you straight.
It's true, and you know what? 5-0 rocks out with their Glocks out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. No, with their Glocks out, that means that they're
with their
Glocks out there.
Yeah.
Right
their
on.
Glock
right
19s,
on.
Yo.
Hey, tell me a little bit about what you think about things today, Chris. You know, with this task force idea, being that, you know, we're looking at SWAT teams and task force and urban. You know, teams, urban assault teams, and all of the interests with the robot warfare and drone manufacturing, and being that it's so close to Portland and everything. Do you think that Portland should enter back into a relationship with the FBI and become part of the task force council?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I think Tom Potter. Our previous mayor might have had a really good point when he examined the whole situation, and he considered it to be a violation of the Constitution, both federal and state. So, I mean, I don't really want to sit here and say, oh, yeah, you know, we need to do this because we're all afraid. The fact that these FBI agents actually caught this guy without the Portland police being involved, I think, you know, is a statement on its own.
Well, yeah. Well, that also creates some
meaning. The police don't really
that,
need to.
Well, they do. I mean, they do need to be integrated into this because with the state of affairs today, it wouldn't behoove us if our federal government, and they are, and we can see that, you know, in so many ways in staging these so-called acts of terrorism.
Well, the point is,
okay,
though, is that they've actually broadened that list of what a terrorist, and especially with the no-fly zone type stuff, or the no-fly list. And really, with your position and the way you speak of things, you know, you could very well become labeled a terrorist. And so why would you want your local police spying on you when you already would have the federal government doing it?
Well, you know, and that's exactly what I'm saying. I've experienced this firsthand, so if you hear the charge in my emotional body, you know why, because I'm living it. You know, in the article here, it says both the FBI and the Portland Police Bureau have a 70-year history of carrying out surveillance on thousands of innocent individuals and organizations because of their political, religious, and social activities. You know,
That's what I'm talking about. Why would you want to have an official joint venture with them? If I was, you know, commissioner of the police, I'm not sure I'd want to have that occurring right now.
Well, absolutely not, you know, absolutely not. You know, and in this case, you know, they're directing that attention towards the medical marijuana community, and they're looking at all of those activities that would be considered criminal or terrorists or would be proactive in creating economy.
But that's mostly
they don't want economy. They're living off of
mostly,
salaries. They're living off of
mostly,
grants. They're living off of handouts and debt.
That's mostly an asset forfeiture situation for the police and the federal government. It's all about property and income that they can derive from taking your stuff. You know, obviously,
right.
Cannabis growers, cannabis users, they're not plotting on blowing up a bunch of people at a Christmas tree lighting, okay? And we all know that, but that's where the drug war has led us into this as well. And we've also seen that we do have a, you know, you mentioned earlier about the problem with Mexico, and it's very real. And our law, our good cops that we have are being harmed by the federal government who isn't doing its job. And so I do sympathize with good cops, and I do sympathize with lawful law enforcement, and I want to help them as much as they want to help me.
Well, and I as well, and this is just common sense for any common law man. Unfortunately, we can easily fall into the reality that the way that this is panning out is really a situation where individuals, myself included, ordinary people today are experiencing such economic voter pamphlet said it better when he said that the federal government that was paying our local district attorney was hostile towards cannabis users. What we've got is a very hostile type of, not only within our own ranks as community, as people who are competing and who are trying to generate income and trying to create community and trying, you know, it's all about, you know, services,
it's
and
money.
Networking and this
it's
kind
about
of thing and
money,
and it comes
and
down
you know
to
what?
Money.
People who use cannabis and grow cannabis are easy targets, and they've always known that, and that's exactly why they are so dominant about the issues, because it's quick cash. And they
right.
want the money, buddy. They want the property. They want the stuff.
That's right.
That's,
well,
hence,
that's
what the pirate's for on the cover.
First,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, man. First abuses, man, were, according to the article here, came to light as a result of congressional investigations in the 70s. And, you know, they were looking at criminal activities and the suspicion activities and stages that were set by circumstances and stage that was set up by FBI agents and activities that were entrapment attempts. And it says also in the article that numerous investigations have been conducted, but no laws have been laid down, or there's been no ramification for repeated violations.
Yeah, right. And well, first of all, in the Constitution or anything that's actually lawful in this country, it's not against the law to, you know, use drugs, and it's not against the law to possess drugs. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, this whole situation again is set up around money and property and control. And you know, when people say they've had enough, you know, they'll let the people know they've had enough, and things will change. But it really is, it comes down to what is lawful and what isn't. And just because something has the appearance of a law doesn't make it a law. And no citizen is bound to obey a fake law, pretend legislation, and no court is really bound to enforce it. And so, again, they're using the hypertensive, you know, if I were talking to you as Grody tonight, I would have to say, but we're doing it for the children, you know,
right.
Because it's
yeah.
an emotional argument. It's not a logical argument.
Well, and this is true, and this is, you know, just again reflecting upon the uniqueness of Oregonians here who have passed laws to protect innocent people from being subject to police surveillance. And we've done that in two ways. And on the front end, police have to have evidence of a possible wrongdoing before they can collect information. And that's constitutionally protected, right, Chris? I mean,
absolutely. And Lee Berger of Portland also won a huge case in the Supreme Court where the police went and totally violated these patients in their garden, and they also arrested them for having guns where the garden was. And
yeah.
Lee Berger, bless his heart, he won a Supreme Court case where the Constitution prevailed, and just because you are a patient with a car doesn't mean you can't have weapons to defend yourself. And that's a huge victory, because when law enforcement ties drugs, you know, marijuana or anything else, and weapons together, it's a whole nother ball game. And Lee Berger actually saved a lot of people a lot of pain and suffering because the law prevailed in his case.
There we have it, and again, back to Oregonians and the way that they stand up for themselves. You know, I wish we would cooperate as a collective in the same light that we do business.
I believe in that's true.
Yeah, Oregon law today is exceptional in the sense that it's designed to ensure that state and local police don't waste their time or investigate people who aren't criminals. And so there is a certain air of trust. On the other hand, you know, we still have these circumstances that are deeply entrenched and intertwined into deep social political issues and views that can be fleshed out, that can be identified, and that's part of what we do as Legal Eagles with the Oregon Cannabis Defense Network or Coalition, in the sense that we are supporting each other, building a reliable network of individuals who represent their passion to be exempt from attempts, whether they be commercial or illegal or spiritual attempts, to colonize your mind, to covet your time and your body and your mind, and keep you so wrapped up and stressed and sick that you can't function and you can't respond to agencies' requests.
Well, part of that problem, though, is that
I'm skipping a beat here, but
part of the whole problem, though, is that people are willing to be distracted, and people are willing to consume. And when we get people to start, you know, actually consulting, you know, their higher consciousness as far as their existence of who they are and where they are, I think it will be better. How much time do we have left in the show, Bud?
We've actually got a minute, so let's just go right into it and ask for Miranda to return and invoke the avatar of insight and knowledge or that which would trigger some kind of thought to create something better than the existing trip that's tripping us up. It's about justice, and we've got about 30 seconds left in the program. We're going to leave you on a high five alive note. Hey, thanks, Chris, for all the faith like we do.
All right, brother. Thanks again. Only
welcome.
You can prevent police brutality.
That's right. From the Streets, Lunacy Stage Works, January 28th and 29th, 2010. Don't miss that. 28th at 6:30 p.m., 29th is 8:30 p.m. That's at the Selwood Masonic Lodge, 7126 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue. Tickets are only $12. Check out lunacystageworks.org or dial up your tickets at 800-494-8497. Now, I told you I'd give you something a little special, Lord, to the land of the thing, and so I want to do just that. And I want to invite you to Saturday's M-Scale Project. And this is a consortium of highly intelligent and creative individuals, and more than likely most of them young men, young college men at that, gamefully pursuing their personal freedom and family roots. That's Saturday, January 15th from 2 to 6 p.m. at Mary's, 8727 North Lombard Street, Portland, Oregon, created by Billy Sanchez. Representations and presentations, the M-Scale Tool and Language Project, surveys and working with your patient, care provider, physician type of plant doctor, cosmology and terminology and everything from genetics to seed preservation to hands-on ways and means to approach your divine and ultimate return to home-based living, and ways to legitimize and to refine, like we're doing now, new knowledge, new terms, and a whole new awareness. So power to y'all, and we'll hope to see you here in the near future, if not Saturday, then perhaps towards the end of the Gregorian January month of Capricorn insights and a whole lot of rock and roll.